There is a lot of empathy which is needed. There is a lot of customer service enhancing on the reputation of the company, a trust which can be built. So, you know, all of these are a part of when you say executive presence to speaking with a client. All of these are important elements. So definitely it helps you. Storytelling skills are extremely important. In any industry that you work with, you highlight on sustainable practices and impacts by storytelling. There is a lot of trust built in creating your brand image. You know, the brand you, whatever you are, the company that you represent, you are a brand for your company.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Spinning Values Podcast, an original podcast produced by Inscape Media for BK Lawn Synthetics. In this episode, we have Ami Wade, a communications and soft skills specialist, to talk about how we can use communication skills in the textile industry. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation.
So hi, Ami. Welcome to Spinning Values. This is a podcast that we had started some time ago for BK Lawn. BK Lawn is a pretty old company, a few decades old company, and it's good that they are sort of, you know, trying out new things. And this podcast is one of the initiatives that they have taken, and it is really working well. So the idea is to get people from all across different facets of life who are experts in their own capacity. And we thought that it could be a great conversation talking to you, as you bring in a lot of years of experience in what you do. Let's start with introducing yourself. Why don't you tell the audience about yourself, a little bit about your background and what you do.
Hi, Karthik. Thank you so much for inviting me here. And talking about myself, my name is Ami Wade. I am a soft skills expert and communication coach for 19 years now. It's been 19 years I'm doing this. I run a company called Speak with Ami. I do a lot of corporate training programs and one-on-one training programs. Spend a decade in China again, teaching English as a foreign language. So I hold a lot of rich experience of training into the area of communication, spoken English, and all kinds of soft skills in India and around Asia, mainly in China. Yeah, so that's about me. And
So when I was reading your profile, I sort of read an interesting thing that you were a customer service rep at one point of time. And then how did that whole transformation happen? How did you end up becoming a communication trainer? How was that? What inspired that transformation?
As far as my education is concerned, I'm a commerce graduate. And by the time we graduated in the year 2001, 2003, 2004, these years, call center industry was in boom. Okay. And it was a very, very popular industry and everybody was getting into it. It was easy money. We had a pickup and a drop. So that's when I was into sales and marketing at the same time. And I decided moving in from banking or sales, customer care, into a call center where I did a lot of sales and customer service. Now, when I started as a customer service representative, and especially in the BPO industry, you have all of these, trainers who are, a lot of foreign trainers coming into the picture who train you. So I always wanted to be on the other side of the stage, and my school and college or all these, my background, I have always been a last bencher. And I wanted to move out as a front mentor. So why customer service? Because I've been a people's person, always like talking to people on the phone, helping them with queries and things like that. So somehow this area motivated me. Why not to teach this? And why not to get on the other side of the stage? And when I saw a lot of trainers, especially foreign trainers in my companies, coming and training us on our accent, the way we speak, empathy, telephone etiquettes, manners. So it was very inspiring. I liked that and I chose that as a career at a later stage.
Okay. That's interesting. So, I mean, before I move on to the next questions, why don't you tell our audience about some of your clients that you deal with so they know at what level are you working at? So who are some of your key clients that you work with?
Okay, I'm not supposed to open all the names. How I mean, if you finance and companies, yeah. I worked with BFSI sector. As a trainer right now, I worked with companies like Brother International. I've worked with a lot of banks. I've worked with Kotak, JM Financial, Saint Gobain, BNP Paribas, and these are some of the companies I've been working with currently.
So, yeah. I mean, they are who's who of the corporate world in our country and internationally. And anyone who wants to find out can Google your name and probably see exactly what all clients do you work with. So tell us, I mean, I also read that you worked at Accenture at one point of time. And tell us how that, with some key insights and some experiences about working there and being the only graduate among MBA trainers. That's something I read. And delivering soft skills training. How share some key insights, if you can, about how that experience was.
So I've trained more than 10,000 engineers in Accenture, and I worked as a consultant for Accenture. So this happened way back again after moving from BPO industry to customer service to getting into HR and training. I had this opportunity which was opened by Accenture, where we had to train a lot of campus to corporate and all kinds of soft skills modules to the engineers pan India. And when I was chosen and to their Bangalore office, and we went into the training room where a lot of trainers were with me, I realized that it was a whole team of MBAs except me. So you know, that was like a aha moment, because I was very young at that point of time, and we had a lot of experienced trainers with rich training experience or studying management graduates and MBAs. So that was, I was the only graduate in that whole room. And we had to clear the certification, train the trainer, I don't know how I did that, but I was very motivated somehow. You know, I always wanted to train. I always, being a graduate, training an MBA too, I've even trained IITians. So it just motivated me somewhere. It was not so easy to clear the round where we had to do a lot of certification. But somehow I prepared myself. Like, you know, we had these 2 days of intensive train the trainer. And then I would sit all night working on my presentation skills, talking in front of the mirror. That time we did not have cameras and webcams and, you know, these phones, smartphones. But I would just practice. And I think I loved stage at some point of time. I still love stage. So that's what, you know, motivated me to get into that part of the training.
Okay. And I mean, I heard it. I also read it in your profile. You were in China and you moved to China and you were teaching English as a second language there, if I'm not wrong. That seems like a significant shift. BKLON does a lot of work with China. There is all sorts of misconceptions in the media about China. I want you to tell us, how was that experience? How was it working in China? And how was the experience teaching the Chinese students English?
Okay. So I moved to China because of my husband. And I was at the peak of my career when I was training for Accenture in the year 2000. You know, 2000, I would just, if I have to take you through the hierarchy or the way I worked, I started as a customer service rep. In fact, prior to that, I started as a sales executive doing door-to-door marketing in all the companies across Balad Estate to Nariman Point, and then moved as a CSR, customer service rep, and then got into call center industry, which opened a big training world to me. I was also a voice and accent trainer once upon a time. So I had studied American geography and stuff very well. Now, in the year 2007, when I was at the peak of my career, I got married, and you know, my husband was working in China. He was doing a lot of trading for a city called Shaoxing, which is one of the world's, I think, Asia's biggest textile city. Like in India, we have Surat and stuff. So we have Shaoxing in China, Shaoxing, Guangzhou. These cities are very popular. And when I moved there, I had to start from scratch, because I was like, you know, corporate training, living in Mumbai, moving in a small town of China. I was like, now what next? I saw a heavy demand of ESL teachers there, English as a second language teachers. Again, China being communist, they were open to foreign teachers, okay, when it comes to teaching in the private institutes. And these private institutes are very, very expensive institutes where a lot of traders and people from textile suppliers, they spend a lot of money to study English or learn English. So I first started working in a university. Again, it was not easy to get in there because they consider Indians as non-native speakers. Of course, we are. But because they are non-native, they can't speak English well. And when it comes to no, it triggers me a lot because I think Indians speak excellent English. It's not about being native or not native. However, my BPO experience helped me a lot because I'd learned American accent and I'd learned American geography. And my mother lived in England for a long time. And, you know, coming from a Gujarati family, we have a lot of relatives in US and UK, and we know a lot of culture there. So firstly, when I would apply for jobs, there was a big no. There was rejection saying that we don't hire Indians, looking at my passport or whatever documents I had. However, I started walking into every teaching and a training institute there, every company. And when I started walking in, I think I made my place because I was strong with accent, you know, with native accent, or if I had to welcome myself as, hi, my name is Amy and I'm coming from India, but my mother's lived in England and my father's been in India, but we speak great English. I've been a corporate trainer. It was easy for me to make place for myself. I think I was the only Indian at that point of time in my city, Indian woman, working for Chinese companies. And then the door was open to a lot of Indians after that. So in English speaking, English as a foreign language, communication skills, and when textile companies go for exhibitions, you know, these trade fairs like Canton Fair and all these Shanghai fairs, English is very important because they have to communicate with people, you know, it's a whole supply chain. They have to communicate with everybody there. So I tried to create a course content on textile English or how to speak in fairs and exhibitions and how to speak to people in different situations. Again, it had to do a lot with customer service, with the soft skills which I mastered. So it did help me there. And after getting no's to working in the companies, there was a time when I became director to the foreign teaching team. So I would manage the entire a group of foreign trainers, British trainers there. Yeah. So okay. That was my journey. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds very interesting. And you did mention, I mean, you know, it's pretty interesting to know that, you know, how, like, I never thought of it, even though we do a lot of work with textile companies for their fairs and we do design a lot. But we've never thought that it could be another skill that, you know, somebody should probably invest in within their company to ensure that people who are there at the fair, at the stalls, they know how to deal with people. They know how to speak. And especially when you're going international and, you know, there are so many textile fairs that happen in China, Germany, there's Domotex Hanover, which is like the biggest textile fair. So, I mean, there's so much effort these companies put in, you know, putting up their stalls and putting up those designs and stuff like that. But, you know, it's pretty interesting to learn that they should probably also invest in training the people who are going there and how to deal with those people. So, I mean, so that this gives a nice seed to my next question, which is, I mean, given your expertise in communication training, see, these textile companies like Bikelon, ultimately, they are, even though they are, you know, their revenue probably would be in hundreds of CR, they export to all over the world. They are doing very important, they are playing very important role in nation building. But we'll still consider them as a medium-sized business with the heavy focus on manufacturing. So most of their staff probably will be working in the factories. Smaller percentage of their staff is in the head office back in Bombay who are talking to these customers. How do you think, you know, the skill that you get to these to the table, which is effective communication, say, if we have to analyze it through taking an example of textile industry, or any medium-sized businesses, because we are in a textile podcast, so we'll stick to textile. How do you think it can help in fostering collaboration across different stages of production and the supply chain management? Are you getting my point? Like, there is a sales team. There are these guys at the factory who are experts in what they do. Communication might not be their strong skill, but they are technically very good. Some of them, you know, even the factory workers. So there is definitely a communication chain that's going on between, say, higher officials at the factory who understands the technical aspect and who can also communicate with at least the factory staff. Then there is a sales team, which probably sits in Bombay, who are the guys talking to various potential customers or customers. How do you think, you know, given your expertise in communication, how would you see this process, and how would you see if they had to hire somebody like you, how do you come in and sort of simplify this communication across different stages of production in a manufacturing setup?
Okay, so thank you for that question. So mainly when it comes to, you know, role of effective communication, if you have to take it with a textile company or a company like this. There are a lot of elements. Mainly, if a trainer has to go there, we go with the problem area. We do a lot of need analysis where we ask companies on what is the problem when it comes to communication or speaking or any kind of soft skills. What is the problem? And mainly what companies come up with or what it helps them is an overall collaboration. You know, from supplier to manufacturer to retailer, everybody is aligned. Communication helps in minimizing error, delays. It helps in building relationship, building rapport. There is a lot of trust. So teamwork is very important here. Our soft skills plays a very important role when you have to do teamwork, which is enhancing collaboration across global supply chain. It helps in problem solving. Communication would definitely help in solving problem, conflict resolving. Adaptability and a lot of customer service, which helps in, you know, dealing with the clients. So if you put these pictures, you develop a framework on these areas or specifically one particular area, which is a weaker area or a problem area, we work on that with an intensive training program, which can help them to build their skills on those aspects.
Okay. So, see, I mean, given the challenges that are faced by the medium-sized businesses, I think something like, and also tell me if you agree with me, something like investing on teaching communication to their staff probably is very low on their, I'm talking about medium-sized businesses. Of course, when there are banks and there are bigger companies whose focus is, like for them, it's absolute necessity to have a trained staff, a trained group of people who can speak well, who can communicate well. But then these medium-sized businesses, they are, you know, all their energies are consumed in just sort of getting their output delivered, getting more business. How do we convince them that, you know, that there will be a significant improvement if they also take this communication skill development seriously? And how do you think, you know, like if you have to talk to them and if you have to tell them that, you know, this is something very, very important, even for you, we know that this might be, you know, lower in your priority, but how do you think this can help grow their business and how it can positively impact their growth?
See, communication is a very big umbrella. Okay. And
yes,
I think nothing works without communication. You call verbal, non-verbal. You talk about body language, you talk about meeting clients, email writing, to everything happens with communication. It's the first thing. And you can say interpersonal skills. So even if you are a mid-sized company or not a very big company or in any area, communication is something which definitely helps. It doesn't have to do every time with speaking in English. It can be any language you communicate with. But there is a need of presenting. There is a need of executive presence. There is a need of collaboration And it, I think communication is one big area here, which is a must for every company, I think. Even from the time the good is made to the final, going to a retail market, everywhere you need communication. So it is a very big area, umbrella edge.
Okay. So as we are talking about it, why don't for our audience, you tell us what all this communication training entails? Like, is it, as you said, it's not just about the language. Language is a part of it. It could be, but like, when we are talking about soft skills of communication, are you talking about body language? Like you mentioned, executive presence, what it is. So if you can touch upon and tell us about these things and what these things are, I think that will be really helpful for the listeners.
Yeah. So what happens is, especially I've seen in these fairs when people get into when there are these global fairs like Canton fairs and textile fairs, or anywhere where you have to present to an international client. And even if you are meeting him on virtual platform, which is a virtual etiquette to meeting in person, there is a way, your body language matters 70% at least. So the way you act, the way you dress, the way you speak, from the time you open your call, you open your, speaking skills, till the time there is a closure, there is a lot which can be communicated. There is a lot of empathy which is needed. There is a lot of customer service enhancing on the reputation of the company, a trust which can be built. So, all these are a part of, when you say executive presence to speaking with a client, all of these are important elements. So definitely it helps you. Storytelling skills are extremely important. In any industry that you work with, you highlight on sustainable practices and impacts by storytelling. There is a lot of trust built in creating your brand image. The brand you, whatever you are, the company that you represent, you are a brand for your company. And when it comes to brand, one very important factor is verbal or nonverbal communication. The way you present yourself, the way you look, the way you are the face of the company. So it starts from there, the elements that we cover, talking about you as a brand of the particular company that you are with, till your verbal, nonverbal skills or your written skills, your email writing. And everything is developed. So it's all interconnected, but they all help you in some way.
Okay. So this actually, I am curious to know this. See, I'm sure there are certain things that can be taught, but how much do you think is something like a person is a good communicator versus a person is not that good communicator, but he can be improved. How much do you, because you meet a lot of people, you deal with a lot of people and you train a lot of people. Do you think some people have a natural advantage and they are just by the virtue of the way they have grown up, the kind of environment they have at their house, the kind of hobbies they have? Do they have certain kind of advantage and they are naturally good at it versus some people are like, no matter how much you train them, there is no way they can put out? Like, do you see these differences, and is it true that anyone can be taught everything, or is it like some people have an advantage over the other?
Good question asked. See, yeah, definitely the environment matters. When it comes to communication, environment matters. The way you are brought up, the school, the environment, wherever you come from, it definitely matters. But again, communication is a skill. Skill is what? Like if I say Lata Mangeshkar is a great singer, is it a talent or is it a skill? It's a talent. But if I say you sing as good as Lata Mangeshkar, it's a skill developed. The same way is communication. Communication is a skill which can be developed to anyone actually. But of course, there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of practice which is needed. But it's a skill, and skill development is possible. I mean, I have seen, if Chinese can speak great English, I think anybody in the world can. And not only about China, but people all over the world. We see people in Bollywood communicating so well when they come from the backgrounds where they've never spoken English, to the way they work on and developed. So communication is a skill which can be developed. Definitely, background plays a very important role. But even if you don't have a good background, you can work on your communication.
Okay. And then that brings me to another informal question. How much do you think accent matters? Like, does it matter, or is it just about the confidence with which you have? See, because I come from Delhi and then I moved to Bombay, and I've seen that a lot of people are like, I might pronounce a word wrong and they'll be like, nahi, it's not pronounced like this, it's pronounced like that. Like, does it matter in larger scheme of things, or is it just a snooty behavior of, say, South Bombay or South Delhi people, especially being in India?
It's a very tricky question.
What is your personal view on this?
See, because I have studied and it has helped me, I think if you can polish on your accent, it will, it does matter. It does matter because it helped me. See, Hindi mein kahawat hai. I don't know if it's okay to speak a bit of
English. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, again, I'll take an example of Lata Mangeshkar, where they say, your awaaz hi meri pehchaan hai. Okay, so. For me, my voice worked everywhere. My accent worked everywhere. Yeah. At the same time, of course, you can't really, you see a lot of people really faking their accent, which is not needed. But neutralizing an accent is extremely important. Okay, now, Delhi people speak different. Mumbai, in India, is a rich country with 90 languages. So we have so many dialects. Now, again, when I lived in China, again, Chinese also have different dialects. And not all native speakers, not all Britishers or Americans speak great English.
Absolutely.
But what is important is neutralizing your accent.
Yeah.
You know? So the more you neutralize, you can speak globally. So I wouldn't say you need to have a strong, when you say accent matters, you don't need to have a strong American accent or a British accent or a very strong Indian accent for that reason. But you need to have neutral accent so that you can speak to everybody all across the place. And it's easy. It's a skill to learn. It takes time. But I work a lot on jaw exercise and jaw moments, or, you know, the way your the is spoken. So there is a batch I do for IT professionals, especially, people from south of India, Telangana or Karnataka, which is very, very different. Now, again, if they are all IT professionals and they have to work with companies in North America or Brazil or anywhere, it's very hard for people to understand them. So accent matters. In a global market, accent matters. Even in India, if you speak neutrally, it helps. It helps you to grow somewhere. I wouldn't say it is everything, but somewhere, especially where you have to speak. And in today's world, where we have everything on social media, where we are presenting ourselves or anything we are doing, it helps you. It's an add-on, if you speak.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, we are sort of approaching towards the end of the podcast. Probably I'm going to ask you three more questions.
Sure.
Again, before we get on to the planned questions that we had, one more question. I've heard this. They say Indian accent or Indian English, when properly spoken, is the most neutral accent. Is there any truth, or does it mean anything, or is it just, again, one of those things to just say that whatever we do is the best? What is your, again, personal view on that?
See, I believe we know English, and in India, we learned English because Britishers ruled India and we spoke a lot of British English. You know, if you've seen our books and textbooks and all, if you compare some American words to British words, we've been using that. But just come back to your question once again.
I've heard they say that Indian accent, when spoken properly, probably the way we are speaking, is the most neutral English that exists. Is there any truth in it, or is it just, again, we think that there is?
No, I don't know. Okay, this is the first time I'm hearing. But we do speak neutral English. We do speak neutral English. I don't know if it is, you can't say it's completely correct, because we have a lot of dialects. We have mother Correct. Tongue in everything, you know. You come from North, you come from Gujarat, you come from South. And I realized this when I was going for call center interviews, you know, in the year when I was 21 year old. And there was one particular year in my life where I was rejected 100 times. Okay, one year. And I realized and I mastered it that what is it that is not working? So definitely act. I won't say, and I see Indians, you know, and then I became an HR once upon a time where I had to interview people on the basis of their accent. So neutral accent is extremely important. Not all Indians speak neutral accent, but neutral is what really, really matters. And I think if you see overall in the world, no one has a perfect accent for that reason. But no, there is no new, but it can be developed. And in India now, the way our economy is working, the way we have CEOs and CFOs all over the world, the way we are dealing, I think we do speak a lot of neutral accent now. We do.
Okay.
But it is developed over time. It's not that it's come from the roots, you know. Yeah.
Sure. So basically, yeah, I mean, there is no right or wrong way to speak.
Here.
There are different ways. It depends on where you are, which time you are in, what context you are in. That sort of, clears my doubt. So now coming back to your core skill, conveying, you know, brand values is important for any company. Again, if you can share some insights on how communication training can help medium-sized businesses to effectively convey their brand values to consumers and to all the stakeholders. How does that communication training comes into the picture there?
Communication, again, from the time you take executive presence to you take project management, task delegation, you talk about leadership skills, networking, growth. In every aspect, there is communication involved here. And if you are a face of your company, especially if you're into sales, marketing, and customer service, that's the main time when your brand value is there. You know, you are there in the picture, you are there in the market, or you're speaking, you're the face of your company. And your verbal, your non-verbal, your email skill, or, you know, your written communication is extremely important, because how do you, if you have to say that first hello to your client, or you have to present your company, or you have to give your elevator pitch of you as a brand representing your company, if that itself doesn't come out well, how do you further build the relationship? Right? So here, brand value plays a very important role.
Correct. Extremely important. Correct. So again, basically also that the larger point there is the brand is just not your logo or the value. Your people are your brand, how they dress up with the brand, how they behave with, not only to consumers within the organization, is also a part of the brand. So the brand is a way larger concept than just a logo or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and now there is one question about diversity and inclusion here. So I think we'll take that. Again, with your focus on empowering individuals and organizations, how do you envision communication training supporting initiatives for diversity and inclusion within, again, larger organization or smaller or textile industry or whichever? What is your larger point here?
Okay. When you say diversity and inclusion, I will say four areas here. First one, training. Training focuses on cultural competence, active listening, and empathy.
Okay.
When it comes to especially communication or even interpersonal skills you can take. Second, when it comes to inclusion, it creates respectful and open, open workplace for everyone. It helps you in innovation. Thirdly, it encourages diverse perspectives and ideas. And, an open forum to speak. And there is a lot of satisfaction, which enhances employee satisfaction and retention. So if you say, take these four areas where training, inclusion, innovation, satisfaction, you have to put it together. it definitely helps and supports initiatives for diversity and inclusion within textile industry, or for that reason.
Okay. My last question to you is about you. So you started your own company, Peak with Ami, right? That's a big leap, right? A lot of people want to start their own business, but somewhere there are doubts that they have. So what motivated you to take this step, considering, you know, there in like every industry right now is competitive, but I'm sure your industry is also pretty competitive. And also I heard that, you know, when you were starting the business, that was the time when you had just taken on the role of a new mother also. So how was that time, and how that leap happens? If we can, you know, if you can tell us that, then I think we can leave the and end the podcast on an inspiring note.
Sure, definitely. So what happened is, you know, from customer service to call centers to sales to training, corporate training was my market. You know, I was at the peak of corporate training and I moved to China. I was at the peak of my career in China. I developed myself as a director to the foreign teaching team. And my husband decided to move back to India, and we had to move for work and a couple of reasons. When I moved here with a one-year-old baby, and I was on a sabbatical, and I had to start again. Now, when I see India, I saw the entire saturated market, especially training and coaching. I think every second person wants to get into training, coaching, become a speaker, influencer. You know, this is a very, very saturated market right now, especially my industry. And I was like, what do I do next? How is it going to help me? And people told me, teach Chinese because I speak basic Mandarin. And then they told me, you teach public speaking to kids because you like it. And a couple of things. So I was on a sabbatical. I live in Mumbai, and part of Mumbai, a very good part of Mumbai called Pawais. And I had a club here called as Toastmasters. Now, this was a public speaking club. So one day I just enrolled in this club and just became a member, where you just go and you tell your stories and, you know, you just talk about it. And I was on a break, and I wanted to get back into training, but I did not know. How do I start here? So I had to give some kind of a speech there. And I spoke about being toddler's mom, okay, which has nothing to do with corporates. And they had a kind of competition, which was a club level competition. And then you get into area and regional level. I won that contest. I went to area level. And then I think I even went to the other, the third level. And when I won, I was like, okay, people are here to listen to me. Somehow people like me. And I think I should get back into training. And when 2020 happened, okay, so I was building on into, I was keeping some options open. Do I train kids? Because right now I'm a mother. Do I train Chinese people? Like I was training English in China. And do I train here Indians to get into learn Chinese? And then COVID happened. COVID was like, people had different things, perceptions on China and what to do. And I got some batches to train for TIS and a couple of organizations and universities as well. IBS, TIS, a couple of companies where I thought, this is my niche, this is my area, and this is where I want to be. So definitely a public speaking platform helped me, and a lot of hard work. I formed my company again in 2019, and I started getting leads through LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a big market, big market. It's a gold mine. I am a LinkedIn top voice 2024 this year, they've declared. I started adding small articles and my life experiences related to communication, everything on LinkedIn. And that's where I started my journey again. I took some 100 days challenge on posting regularly, being consistent over LinkedIn. And that's where I got back my area, and I got back into corporate and all these corporate clients that I spoke about. A big thanks to LinkedIn here. So a big thanks to LinkedIn, and a big thanks to the consistency that helped me to grow. So yeah, that's how I build on my work. Speak with Ami, I build on my company. And rest is just there. It's there. And I'm still building.
Okay. And do you want to, before we, you know, say goodbye, do you want to tell the people where they can look you up on LinkedIn? Do you have a website? If they have to get in touch.
Sure, sure. So you can get in touch with me on LinkedIn. So you can find me as Ami Wade on LinkedIn. At the same time, I have a YouTube channel called Speak with Ami. And mainly you will find me on LinkedIn, Instagram also. I'm there as Speak with Ami, but my main work comes from LinkedIn. So you can reach out to me for a discovery call on one-to-one conversation, working on any kind of communication challenges that you have.
All right, Ami, this was a great conversation. I personally learned a lot, and I hope, you know, tuning in also learns a lot. Goodbye, Ami. Thank you so much for being part of Spinning Value.
Thank you. Thank you, Karthik.
Thanks, Ami, for coming on the Spinning Values podcast. It was great to chat with you. If you want to listen to the rest of the episodes, head on over to bklon.com/spinningvalues. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to meeting you on the next episode.